For some African-American women, wearing your natural hair can be liberating. They no longer feel the pressure to conform to mainstream straight hairstyles. But what rights do they have when it comes to how they wear their hair in the workplace? Tomorrow at ASU's Law School in downtown Phoenix, attorney and author Tracy Sanders will host a discussion on natural hair, law, and the workplace, along with Essence China of Rare Essence Studio. Sanders is the author of Natural Hair in the Workplace, What Are Your Rights? And she says many Black women feel like they are walking a tightrope when it comes to how they wear their hair at work. I spoke with her more about this recently and started by asking her about the other side of this equation. What rights do employers have in terms of dictating how people can appear who work for them?
Employers absolutely have a right to establish dress and grooming codes in the workplace. Employers, however, are prohibited from discriminatory practices if Title VII applies. And it prohibits discrimination in the workplace based on race, based on sex. So how natural hair comes into the discussion of Title VII is the courts have defined race as physical characteristics such as skin color, the hair that you're born with, and weight.
The hair that you're born with. So is that quote unquote natural hair?
Absolutely. It is natural hair. So, for example, my ethnic background is African American. We perceive natural hair to be hair that you're born with. In some circles, perhaps you can chemical treat it and it would still be natural. Mm-hmm. Not so under the law. So from a statutory perspective, natural hair is the hair that you're born with. No chemicals, no treatment. It is what you are born with.
Versus, right, like a natural hairstyle, like the way in which you treat it?
Absolutely. So, for example, natural hairstyle would be locks. In some circles, they might be called sister locks or dreadlocks. Natural hairstyles also include braids and cornrows. Mm-hmm. So all of these are ethnic or Black natural hairstyles. But here's the differentiation in terms of case law. The courts have clearly distinguished natural hair, say an afro, from a natural hairstyle such as dreadlocks. That's a huge point of contention because we had a case to come down in September of 2016 where the court held that while an employer who has 15 or more employees, that's the only time Title VII would apply, mm-hmm. cannot discriminate based on natural hair, an employer can ban someone from wearing dreadlocks in the workplace.
Wow. Okay. So what's the argument behind that? That one is unalterable and the other is?
Yes. The reason why an employer can ban dreadlocks in the workplace is because dreadlocks are considered a natural hairstyle. Those are hairstyles that can be altered, and the court defines those hairstyles as cultural identity and not race. Because the logic is anyone can wear dreadlocks, a white person, a Black person, an Asian person, any ethnicity, any race. But I use the word race for a reason. Mm-hmm. In most instances, and let's tread very carefully by saying in most instances, biologically you cannot change your race, but you can change a hairstyle. Biologically, you cannot change the natural texture you're born with, but you can take dreadlocks out and absolutely comply with an employer's dress and grooming code.
Hmm. So if that argument, though, if you carry that forward, couldn't that apply to anyone? Like, I couldn't dye my hair a certain color or cut it a certain way. Like, is that ever challenged in the courts?
That is actually a wonderful analogy because I generally speak about the topic related to natural hair in the workplace, of course, from a perspective in terms of women of color. But we must remember this issue affects all persons in the workplace. If you are a man with pink hair or a woman that is Caucasian with blue hair, that might be perceived as now you have altered your hair. It's not in its natural state. And that color in your hairstyle is not protected.
So what is the current kind of professional climate toward natural hair in the workplace? Like, is it changing? Is this becoming more accepted?
I believe so. If you pay attention to social indicators, I don't know if some of you may have noticed, but we see a lot more women of various ethnicities now wearing natural hair. Mm-hmm. I also believe certain movies now are portraying women in leading roles with natural hair. And on a professional level, I do believe that is still important to be cautious if you're in a restrictive work environment. So for example, I'm an attorney. I love being an attorney, but when I am in a legal space, I might not feel comfortable wearing a natural hairstyle. When I am out doing the book tour, speaking at trade shows, I can express myself a bit more because, in my opinion, the legal profession is still somewhat restrictive versus as an entrepreneur at a trade show, I have a little more freedom of expression.
Yeah, yeah. Do most of the clients that you work with or women that you've spoken with about this feel, though, that this is inherently discriminatory?
Yes. Unfortunately, I hear that every week when I'm speaking to women. It's definitely a concern, particularly for women of African descent. I do think that women who have kinky or wavy hair might feel that their hair could be a problem in the workplace versus someone who has been born with straight hair and would have no clue in terms of what is all the fuss about. It's only hair. For a woman who has to make a decision between cultural identity, wanting to embrace her natural pattern, which may be wavy or kinky, it is a big deal because a lot of women feel as if we might have to check our cultural identity at the door to remain employed.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is Tracy Sanders. She's an LA-based attorney and the author of Natural Hair in the Workplace, What Are Your Rights? Tracy, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for allowing me to speak about this important topic.